You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome to a midweek Wednesday edition of the program here on 1600 ESPN. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Isaac on the other side of the glass with you today. Got a good program. We are jam-packed today. John Bonenkamp is going to join us, the Swiss Army knife of all things sports here in the state of Iowa. Works for the AP and assorted other little tidbits. And we will talk about Iowa men's and women's basketball, a little football, and some more stuff with John. We'll be getting with him coming up in just a few minutes. And then later on, Chris Liss of Real Man Sports will be joining us. Get your fantasy football questions in at 319-366-1600, and you will be first up in the queue and ready to go as Chris will join us and answer those questions for you coming up in just a little bit. Bowling Night in America preview for you. We'll take a look back at last night's college basketball and a whole lot more as we take you through this 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. How you doing today, Isaac?
I'm doing well.
Got your hoodie going today.
Yeah, I didn't do my hair, so I'm covering it up.
Yeah, we would have noticed.
Yeah, I don't think it really would have affected anything. But also, it was a little bit rainy when I left, and I just never put it down.
Okay, Mark, would you have been offended if you had saw Isaac's hair and it was not, you know, as usual, his usual whatever great self? Would you have been offended?
Not in the least.
No, see, we're fine.
I appreciate the. I usually wear socks and sandals all the time in here. So if anything, that's going to be the most offensive thing I do in here.
We are not offended one bit. I don't think our listeners are either. Again, that's 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, we'll have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast as well. And we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. And, Mark, we start things off college basketball last night in front of, unfortunately, and I think that may be the bigger pressing story from last night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, maybe 3 or 4,000 there to see Iowa beat North Dakota last night handily. 10 basically played in the rotation for Iowa. Evan Bronz did not dress last night for the Hawkeyes. And the good performance for the University of Iowa and Fran McCaffrey. Now, keep in mind, much like the Iowa State game on Monday night, North Dakota is not going to be mistaken for a team that is going to win a national championship. But you got to go out there and do things. And I think the folks that were there were entertained last night.
Yeah, I watched a little bit on a friend's feed, just a tad. You were there.
I was there.
And it had better impressions than I, but we talked earlier, and I think we agree. Owen Freeman has a terrific future at the University of Iowa, and I think the freshmen do as well. And, the jury's still out on this team, but you talked about the attendance, and that's what you would expect in a non-conference game. But interestingly, I read Mike Halas's tweet and report that only 6,500 season tickets have been sold for men's games, as opposed to sellouts for Iowa women. Interesting.
You got to think that there are some folks that went from men's basketball season tickets to women's basketball season tickets, at least for 1 year anyway. And maybe, who knows, maybe for perpetuity. I don't know. Depends how they enjoy themselves and how can they not enjoy themselves. Watching Caitlin Clark and Hannah Stolke and everybody else going up and down the court for the Iowa women. Big game for them tomorrow night, by the way, against Virginia Tech. We'll talk more about that as we get into the Thursday edition of the program. But, a pretty, pretty good team. And we'll see about the men. Like I said, I think the freshmen are better than people thought. The Freeman and Harding, the two kids from Moline, coming off a state championship for that group last year as high school seniors, they are tough. They are hard-nosed. Freeman can really score. He's got the Ed Horton swim move down. We'll see how many times he gets away with that as opposed to Eddie back in the day. But I think there's reason for optimism a little bit with this Iowa team. They are going to struggle, I think, in a couple of areas, and we'll talk to Kevin Lehman tomorrow about it. And we'll get John Bonenkamp's impression as well. Athletic bigs and forwards, I think, are going to give this team a little bit of trouble. I'm not sure it's going to be the greatest rebounding team that is ever going to come down the pike. But it's a team that 1-10, I think, can score the basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be a deep team. There's no question about that. But I think as I look at it right now, it's like the three P's, and that is Peyton Sanford, Patrick McCaffrey, and Tony Perkins. I think those are really vital players on this team.
I would agree with you. Tony Perkins did not have his best game, but he didn't need to have his best game last night. Desante Bowen stepping in as a starting guard as well. Patrick McCaffrey certainly going into this final year. Sounds like this will be the final year with a McCaffrey on the team, unless Jack makes a sudden 180-degree turn as far as this decision is concerned. You're shaking your head, Isaac. You don't see that happening, correct?
No. He, for good reason, probably wants to start fresh somewhere.
I think it's probably the best. By the way, Greg and Epworth says sandals with socks is offensive.
I'm sorry. I am who I am. I'm not going to change that much. Right now, it's going to be Chucks for the rest of the winter, though. I'll say that much.
No sandals this winter.
No, it'll probably be Chucks the rest of the
winter. Okay. All right. Good. Noted. Thank you. Go ahead and get us John Bonenkamp, and we'll talk with Mr. Bonenkamp coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. By the way, it was double maction last night, Mark, in college football. That is a rarity, but we had double maction night last night.
Yeah, I didn't check in to see any of it. We've got more tonight, Scott.
Well, there's maction all the time.
Eastern Michigan, Toledo, and Akron, Miami. I mean, it's every day maction. You got to love it.
You got to love it. Also, it's triple maction night tonight. Triple maction night. Kent, Bowling Green, Akron, Miami, Eastern Michigan, Toledo. I stand corrected. You can beat double maction night. You can have triple maction night. So, hey, we're helping you out here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. 319-366-1600. As we get ready to talk with our friend John Bonenkamp, and we will talk all things Hawkeyes coming up with John here in just a moment or two. Covers rights of the AP as well as iowacollegehoops.com. And as we mentioned many times in the past, he is the Swiss Army knife of journalists here in the state of Iowa, but probably still, John, hurting a little bit from the Dodger step out in the playoffs, right?
Oh, of course. Because, I mean, we know it was poor umpiring and that sort of thing. No, seriously, postseason is such a crapshoot anymore. And we could go on for hours about the front office and how they prepare for the postseason. But this was like one of the first ones I was ever really mad at, because I thought that they just weren't given – they weren't put together well enough for a five-game series. So that's my beef right now.
Yeah,
so
they'll try her again next year.
And exactly. We'll be back next year. They'll be fine.
So. Maybe with another, let's say, DH/pitcher who will only DH next year?
Possibly, yeah. And then they could make him an outfielder at some point. Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of things. Because we have money, you know.
Very true, very true. Well, you were at Carver last night. I saw you from across the way. It was not hard with about 3,000 hearty souls there last evening. I thought it was a pretty good first night out for the Iowa basketball team. What were your thoughts?
I did, too. I mean, I mean that's a lot of points to put up against a team that, I mean, and I've seen this program in the Summit League, and I mean, it's a solid, you know, middle of the pack in that conference, which I think is a good conference. It's just what I've seen over the years. I thought it was a very well played game. I mean, they had, you know, one turnover in the first 25 minutes, which, you know, I mean, that's unusual considering the way they played. I thought it was just a really well played season opener that when you've got a whole bunch of new guys to mix in, that's a pretty good sign, I think.
John, what do you make of the difference between attendance at men's games and women's games, at least this early juncture?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a women's team that's coming off a Final Four, you know, national championship game appearance, with almost everybody back. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement around that. You've got the nation's best player, you know, playing there. And with the men, you know, they're just – people don't have a lot of expectations about them just because of – so many new faces, and, you know, there isn't that star that, you know, has been there in the past. You know, there isn't that Chris Murray, there isn't the Keegan Murray, there isn't the Luka Garza. But, I mean, I think people are going to realize that this is a pretty good team, that this has a lot of talent. And, I mean, it's a deep team. But right now, I mean, everybody is talking about, if you're talking about basketball, you're talking about women's basketball, and that's the Caitlin Clark effect. And I think the men's team, I think they're fine with that. They're just like, okay, we're going to go play and we're going to go do this, and you'll be back at some point. So, I don't think it really bothers them one way or the other.
See if you agree with this. There's no superstar, obviously, on this team this
right.
year for Fran McCaffrey, but I dare say 1 through 10, I think Fran has not had a group that is better offensively 1 through 10 than perhaps this one.
Oh yeah, it's a really deep team. I mean, and I mean, you look at just we'll start from the bottom up, and you look at the freshmen, and you look at all those guys last night. They did not look like freshmen. They will at some point in this year. All freshmen do, but last night, I mean, these guys looked like really good basketball players that knew how to play the game, ran the floor well. You know, I go back to the stat I just had. I mean, you had one turnover in the first 25 minutes, 7 overall. That when you can play that kind of fundamental game, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. But you're right. I mean, there is not that 20-point scorer, but there are guys there that can get you 20 points in a game. And so, and there's a lot of guys there that can do it. And so, I mean, you got a lot of guys that can shoot threes. You know, Lodgy Dembele came in last night and squared up and took some threes. You know, and he's a 6'7", 6'8", forward. And Ben Cricky hit a three, and I think he's – everybody's going to really like him. I mean, he's a fifth-year senior with a really good resume, and he's got a chance now with a major conference team. I think people are going to really like him. There really isn't a lot of drop-off, really, in that 1 to 10. This is a really balanced rotation right now.
As far as the women go, we knew what we were going to get out of Caitlin Clark. She could have scored 60, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know that first game, but Iowa's noted for its posts. They're bringing in a 6'4 girl from Oregon, a woman, I should say. Sharon Goodman had a nice game, and they're going to need that out of the post.
Yeah. And I mean, my thing was, and I said this when, because I mean, Hannah Stolke, I knew was going to take that big next step. And she was really good last year as freshman, but I knew that she would take that big next step into that sophomore year and fit into that 4 spot really nicely. We saw her hit a 3 the other night. She's got the ability to hit that outside shot. So she kind of picks up where McKenna Warnock left up. The concern was always going to be what you were going to get out of the post position with no Monica Sinano. But what you saw the other night, Sharon Goodman with a big double-digit game, you know, best game of her career. And you saw and Addison O'Grady played well, too, and has been playing well in the summer and fall. So if you can recreate that production, I use the old money ball line. If you can recreate that production in the aggregate, that makes this a really good team. But from what you saw the other night, Sharon Goodman looked like she can really play that position, and she, you know, really recovered from last season when she wasn't much of a factor coming off a knee injury. Now it seems like she's really playing that spot very well.
Now, we will find out a lot more tomorrow when Iowa and Virginia Tech get together. That's number 3 versus number 8. It is at a neutral site down in Charlotte. Probably more Virginia Tech, you know, maroon and orange, than there's going to be black and gold. We'll see how it plays out. But this is going to be a big test because this is, a really good Virginia Tech team, and it's a big team that the Hokies have.
Yeah, and we're going to find out a lot more about that front court, Iowa's front court. But I think Iowa handles this game pretty well. I think that it's a good matchup for them. It's a big early season matchup for this team, and I think they're ready for it. I mean, you can just tell that what they went through last year and the fact that they have so many of those players back, that they're really built for these moments now and having gone through the march that they did. And so last year, November and December, really kind of built the rest of the season. I think you're going to see the same thing this year, but I think they're better equipped now to handle the big games. And I think they win tomorrow night, and I think it'll be a good win.
Kitley is very, very good for Virginia Tech. Just keep in mind, if things do not go well for Iowa tomorrow night, this is not the end of the year if Iowa loses.
You know, I think back to this time last year, and I wrote about that. They had to win in overtime at Drake. They lose at Kansas State. They had that really awful game against North Carolina State at home. They lost to UConn in the neutral court, and everybody kind of thought, okay, maybe this team isn't. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the year, they were at their best and really hit their stride. The same can be said with this stretch coming up. It's a key stretch. If they get through it with a lot of wins, it really positions them well then for when you get into December and as you get into Big Ten play. But, yeah, if they lose tomorrow night, it's not that big a deal. If they win tomorrow night, it is kind of a big deal. But, again, it's not the beginning. You know, it's not the – you know, one way or the other. It's just a November game, and I think we're going to learn a lot about them and a lot about some of those questions we've had about them. I think we'll learn a lot tomorrow night.
John, somehow, some way, the Iowa football team finds itself in control of its destiny in the Big Ten West. Mm-hmm. And we know why, defense and special teams primarily. Mm-hmm. In your mind, are you waiting for this balloon to burst, or do you think Iowa will go ahead and win the West?
I think Saturday's game will determine a lot of what comes up next couple of weeks, because I think this is probably the toughest game of the three they've got left. If they win that one, I think they've set themselves up pretty well for the last couple of weeks in a run to get to Indianapolis. And I mean, you know, if we're sitting here at the end of the year and you're talking 10-2, that's where you want to be. That's a little better. And I figured they'd be a 9-3 team. But I thought they would be better offensively, clearly. But if they're 10-2, that's a pretty good year. No matter how you got there, it's still a pretty good year. Then you worry about the Big Ten championship game, and then you worry about playing. But Saturday, to me, is going to be a big determination on what this last 3 weeks is going to look like.
What can this team do? I mean, they're a little bit banged up on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Going in, questions obviously at the quarterback spot. They can't really, you know, find another Houdini act, can they?
No.
To win another game?
They can. Sure they can. You know, I mean, the margin for error is, you know, and Kirk Ferentz said this yesterday, that this program always has never had that big a margin for error. It really is almost nothing at this point. You have to win games. You just can't, you know, you can't just, you know, you're going to have to play your best football. So we're going to see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to see what happens in this game. But, yeah, they could pull this the rest of the bit. They could pull these kind of acts the rest of the year and be in a spot to go to Indianapolis.
I don't know about you, John, but we get a lot of comment, and a lot of talk shows do, newspaper people do. Why not try Joey Labus? And he actually was not working with the twos in pregame last week, but I mean, on the one hand, don't you trust Kirk Ferentz and his evaluations, or what are your thoughts on the quarterback situation?
I mean, and Kirk has talked about this bit. I mean, Joey Labus missed a lot of the late summer and missed a lot of that August camp with some sort of injury, and that really put him behind a little bit. And I don't know if he's caught up yet. I really don't. And so, you know, when you went into the season, you thought you had a clear number one, you had a clear number two, and then number three was going to be a little bit murky. Well, now all of a sudden, everybody moves up one spot, and now it becomes a bigger focus. I would hope that in the last couple of weeks, especially the bye week, that you've got somebody ready, because whether even Deacon Hill is your clear number one, he could still get hurt. You know, something still could happen, and the fumbling issue that he had a couple weeks ago, and he did drop another one the other day, that kind of concerns me a little bit, and you know that you can't keep doing that if you want to play that position. But they may just not be at that point where they have that clear number two because of, you know, you've got two true freshmen behind Joey Labus. He was behind from the summer on, and who knows how much he's been able to catch up. So right now you really don't know who that clear number two is, in my mind.
Yeah. Well, and people have moved on to Linus now. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Now it'll be, why isn't he playing? So,
yeah.
Which, yeah, okay, let's throw that true freshman out there in November in a big game. So, the toolbox is what it is at this point. They're not going to add any new tools. This is what it's going to be, and this is what they're going to have to do to get through the rest of the season.
Yeah, very well put. John Bonenkamp joining us here at 3:26 on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. This is an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway of you.
Okay.
Looking into your crystal ball, do you foresee everything coming out with wine and roses at the end of, say, January or February with a new offensive coordinator that everyone loves? Kirk Ferentz still there or not still there, depending on your view. Everyone's still in love with Beth Getz at this point. Is this all going to play out as well as people would like, or is it going to get stickier?
I don't think everybody's going to be happy about it. I don't care who the offensive coordinator coming in is going to be. I think Kirk stays. I think Beth gets that interim tag comes up. I think Kirk stays. I wouldn't have said that a week ago, you know, after his Tuesday press conference. I was a little on the fence of, you know, maybe this is it. Then the day after, that statement made it a little bit more clear that he wants to come back. I just think that she's the athletic director. He'll be the head coach. He will select the offensive coordinator, and no matter what happens, people won't like it. So.
As far as John, back to tools in the toolbox for Iowa's offense, I'm going to make a prediction right now. You're going to see a reverse pass at some point thrown by Cooper DeJean, or maybe not. He'll probably get blown up by a cornerback.
And that's the worry. And I mean, Kirk has brought that up. You don't want to, you've got a pretty good weapon that plays on two parts of this, of a three-part team. Do you really want to put him at risk? I still think there's more that they want to do with him, but they're going to be careful with him. I don't think it's going to be he's going to be the starting quarterback and also play cornerback and also return punts. But I think they're going to try to find a few more things for him to do, because I think they want to. And even if he's out on the field, he is a decoy. And so, I mean, I think they're going to try to find some ways to work him in, not overuse him, but just find that right balance in trying to get him in some games.
Yeah. Were you surprised and had to look twice at who number 81 was then?
Yes. I mean, you don't even think about it at times sometimes. Of course, I have a big problem anyway with the duplicate numbers, but that's just me. I was like, wait a minute, who is that? And then it's like, okay, now this all kind of makes sense. But, it's always something covering this team. And I there's some days I come home from games and I just think of all the things that I've seen and written about, and we still got three games to go yet in this regular season. So
yeah, we were waiting. Mark and I wanted to have the thrown over the top penny from gym class days back in middle school with a slightly obscure number that Cooper DeJean would have to wear, but they went the opposite route and changed Caleb Brown's number. So
yeah, and it was kind of funny when he told the story yesterday about what they did. And yeah, okay, here's the jersey, go in the tent and put it on. And everybody's like, well, did you want number 81? He's like, well, not really, but here, you know, we got to do it. So it's again, just the things that seem to happen in these games. It's always entertaining, I can say that.
Yeah.
John, last from me real quick.
Sure.
I'm of the opinion I don't need to see football games at baseball stadiums. And, of course, last week was at Wrigley Field. We know Yankee Stadium holds the Pinstripe Bowl and Fenway Park and on and on and on. But between the sod, the sight lines, whatnot, I wondered why he didn't play at Soldier Field. But your thoughts on Wrigley and other baseball parks?
First of all, when you talk about the sod, if they'd played at Soldier Field, you know, who knows what that would have been like.
In my mind,
it was one of those things. It's like, this is really cool. Let's never do it again. You know, I mean, it was kind of a neat thing. I mean, we got to see something, you know, kind of the behind the scenes thing. You know, sitting when we were waiting to go in and talk to Kirk, sat down in the first base dugout. And I made sure to sit where Dave Roberts would sit. And go down I mean, there were some things that for me, from a baseball perspective, was really cool. But I'm in the press box, so I understand the fans and I understand some of the complaints about the seats. It was a really neat idea. Iowa fans that were there had fun, drank a lot of beer. Don't do it again. You know, that was kind of the way I felt when it was all over with.
Yeah. One question from 5123, and this is from yesterday, of course, with Nick Brooks decommitting from Iowa. And is that a red flag situation in your mind? They're kind of asking us our opinion on that right now.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, I remember when he committed, and again, I don't know the kid, and I've never seen him play. I don't know, but I always kind of felt like that commitment was a little tenuous. You know, I didn't know. I was just kind of, it was kind of one of those, let's just wait and see what happens, you know, given things you hear and that sort of thing. And so I don't look at it as a big deal. If a lot more do it, then you kind of worry about it. But from right now, I mean, that's just one, and you just move on and go find somebody else. And that's just kind of the way recruiting is these days.
Yeah. And along with NIL and everything else.
Exactly.
Yes. If we could all fix the world, you know, we'd also get rid of this. I know you're a race fan, this NASCAR point system. So
I'm okay with it, but I would tweak some things a little bit. But by God, it's coming to Iowa Speedway next year, and I think that's just the coolest thing ever. So.
It is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend, no doubt. Hey, John, appreciate the time. Thanks, and keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
All right, have a good one. Talk to you guys later.
All right, John Bonenkamp joining us here on the Jim Klass, the Swiss Army knife of all things journalism here in the state of Iowa. Mark 3348 on the text line letting us know that one of the Puck Boys from Wash was a lineman back, and he had a pullover jersey back in the 80s. He was not the only one. There were several. I want to say that, oh, gosh, and the name escapes me right now. Help me out. The guys from Decorah, help me out. He lives in Cedar Rapids and is probably listening, so he's probably yelling at his radio right now.
Not Olenzak.
Olenzak, yeah, he did. He had one of those pullover jerseys, but not this year. Not this year. 319-366-1600. I'm going to get it to Mark for an email sideway scoreboard update, and then we're going to get to Chris Liss from Real Man Sports. His questions already pouring in as far as fantasy football is concerned, so we will get to Chris coming up here in just a couple of moments, but we need to get it to Mark for an email sideway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue, Southeast and Cedar Rapids, across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. What do we have?
Semifinal action in the state high school playoffs is underway at the Unidome. 8-player action today. Earlier, Algona Garrigan defeated Winfield Mount Union 34-20 with a big second half. Right now is 7 seconds left in the game, and Bedford is on the 7-yard line trying to overcome a 30-28 deficit. And I'll bring you an update on that if I get it. Additionally, it's Murray against Murray tonight in the NBA as Portland is at Sacramento. Chris plays for Portland. He's only played in 2 games this year. Keegan, a starter for Sacramento. Still a cool deal. Jeff Johnson in the Gazette reporting that Iowa City Regina head football coach Jason Dumont has resigned after 3 years at the helm. He had spent 17 years at Regina. He had succeeded Marv Cook as the head coach. The latest in the Michigan sign-stealing scandal, if you want to call it that, Michigan is alleging that Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers shared information prior to the 2022 Big Ten title game. Ohio State shared information on Michigan's offense and Rutgers on its defense, allegedly. And finally, in college basketball out west, the Nevada-Sacramento State game was interrupted in the second half of that game because of an invasion of bats. I'm sure Steve Alford took care of that.
Or blamed it on somebody else. Hello! Hello! Isaac, you're smirking, and did you see the bats last night?
I did indeed.
I hate bats.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I actually had a dream the other night about them. So.
About bats?
Yeah.
Oh. See, I don't dream about them. I just do not like them.
It wasn't a good dream.
Well, no, I meant a nightmare.
I
don't have nightmares about bats, but holy cow, that would be like the worst thing that could ever happen.
I'm pretty sure I woke up in the middle of the night because I thought the dream was something about, like, I thought a bat flew in through our window or something, like, because they squeeze into holes and stuff like that. So for whatever reason, that was the dream, is it flew into our apartment.
And that 8 game, Scott, a field goal with 13 seconds left, I was given Bedford a 31-30 lead over Gladbrook Rhinebeck. It is Bedford's first field goal of the year.
Oh, well, hey, waited for a very opportune time to do that. 85-32 saying, it sounds exciting, Mark. I wish I could watch it. Is there anything that the association can't screw up? This is actually not the Iowa High School Athletic Association's decision. This is the Iowa High School Sports Network that has the media rights to the semifinals and finals and other state championships. The Iowa High School Athletic Association right now, in fact, is in litigation in Polk County to try to get out of the contract or to make the Iowa High School Sports Network change their contract so that it can be out there and viewed for free once again. We'll see who wins that particular matchup. 319-366-1600. We're going to get Chris Liss and answer your fantasy football questions when we return on the Gym Class for a Wednesday here on KGYM. Back after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Kason Ferguson with a check of your forecast. Skies will continue to clear throughout the overnight hours with some cooler temperatures. Overnight lows will fall back into the low 30s. Mostly sunny skies for your Thursday, a bit breezy as well. West winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour with afternoon highs into the low to mid 50s. Mostly clear Thursday night. Temperatures will fall back into the upper 20s. We continue to see lots of sunshine on Friday. Temperatures slightly cooler with highs into the middle and upper 40s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get.
ABC Tonight.
It's country music's biggest night.
The CMA Awards, live. With performances by Luke Bryan, Lainey Wilson, Jelly Roll, and Kay Michelle. Old Dominion with Megan Maroney. Carly Pierce featuring Chris Stapleton. Tanya Tucker with Little Big Town. And more.
The best in country music! Woo!
Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning host.
The CMA Awards live.
Tonight, 8/7 Central on ABC. And stream next day on Hulu.
Get in the spirit with 50% off everything for a limited time during the holiday preview event. Now through November 13th at Banana Republic Factory. From merino wool sweaters to luxe outerwear, explore our favorite styles to give and to get.
Stack up on pet supplies from Menards and save 11% on everything. Come check our great selection of pet food and wildlife supplies. Chicken Soup for the Soul is a dog food made with real beef and quality ingredients. It provides well-balanced nutrition for supporting happy, healthy pets. Right now, get a 13-ounce can for just $2.49 after 11% off. Good through November 12th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Don't miss out. Catch WagerWise every Wednesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Presented by your go-to sportsbook, Betfred.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. He'll take you from 4 until 6 o'clock. 319-366-1600. That is the text line ready to go for you. And if you have a question for our next guest, Chris Liss of Real Man Sports, and big thanks as well to I'm On Communications here, the official sponsor of All Things Fantasy Sports here on KGYM. Chris, fourth straight loss, 3-6, and tumbling like an elevator that has been snapped.
good metaphor, Scott. Sorry to hear it. It was so well early on. Like, Mostert hasn't scored in a while for you, and McCaffrey was off last week, so it was tough, huh?
Well, it was, but it was. I've been agonizingly close. I lost by 2.5 points, I think. Every time they threw to CD Lamb, though, I was going against him, and it was like 8 points. And I exaggerate, but we'll try to get her turned around. I have a question for you later on, but let's get to the folks here that have dialed us up here and texted in at 319-366-1600. And we start with 9307 in a full PPR league. First of all, he needs a flex. Zay Flowers, DJ Moore, or Dalton Schultz. They do have Dalton Kincaid as tight end and CJ Stroud as their quarterback.
Yeah, I'd probably still go DJ Moore. I know that Schultz had a monster game last week, but I'd still go DJ Moore. And Zay Flowers disappeared. I mean, I don't know if he's banged up too, but go DJ Moore.
And also the second part of that question, they also need two running backs from this group. James Cook, Allgaier, Chuba Hubbard, Damian Pierce, or Charbonnet?
Ugh, that's horrible. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. I guess Cook and Pierce was hurt last game, so I'm not sure what his status is. And Hubbard is like splitting. I guess he's the starter. I guess Hubbard and Cook for now, but check the injury reports.
37-56 is in a full PPR, Chris. Needs a receiver, Cooper or Sutton?
I'd probably go Cooper.
Is he healthy, though?
Check. You got to check before the games.
Yeah, I know he got dinged up last week in that Cleveland shutout win over Arizona. But
let's see what the latest we have is. No, he's all right.
Okay.
He seems all right, yeah. He had a big game last week, 139 yards and a touchdown for Cooper.
Full PPR asks 54-27, Bijan Robinson or James Conner, assuming he plays?
I got to go Robinson. I mean, Arthur Smith got a lot of heat for his usage of Robinson, and I don't know if he's going to get more stubborn, but, I mean, they got to use him, and they're favored. So give me Robinson. But it's been I have Robinson in a couple of leagues. It's been extremely frustrating.
1250 has a two-parter, Chris. Is in a PPR league. Needs two of these four. Lockett, Dell, Kirk, and Thielen.
I go Thielen and Dell.
And also with two on a bye and Fields likely out, which waiver wire quarterback should I pick up? And don't say Tommy DeVito.
Sorry about that, Chris.
Yeah, definitely not Tommy DeVito. Danny DeVito would be a better pickup than Tommy DeVito. Which waiver wire quarterback should you pick up? It really depends who's on waivers. I mean, you know, the Raiders guy looked pretty good, but not against the Jets. The Jets are one of the worst teams to face if you're a quarterback. It depends what kind of QBs are on waivers, right? Like, if it's Sam Howell, that's fine. You know, if it's, you know, I probably wouldn't go with Taylor Heinicke. I mean, you could. I probably would. You could go actually with what's his name, the rookie on Tennessee who gets the Bucs.
Oh, Will Levis.
Will Levis. Stroud just lit him up so badly. I mean, Stroud is actually really good. But Levis showed a little, you know, he showed a spark. He threw some long bombs to Hopkins a couple games ago. I think you could pick him up in a pinch.
0789 at 345 asking, in a full PPR league, Kenneth Walker or Joe Mixon for the rest of the year?
I go Walker. I know he had a bad game last week, but they just got destroyed by the Ravens, and I think that was sort of it's one of those games. I would go Walker for sure.
85-93 is in a standard league, Chris. George Pickens or Terry McLaurin?
Pickens did nothing the other day. I go McLaurin in that game against the Seahawks.
Okay. Get your questions in for Chris at 319-366-1600. 8950 asking, what are your thoughts on Brandon Ayuk this week?
Yeah, Ayuk, you know, was doing really well. Debo might be back. Yeah, I mean, I would use Ayuk. I don't have a problem with it. You know, just realize that even though he's been very good when he's been targeted, that the Niners tend to spread the ball around.
62-15, released Justin Jefferson on waivers. Should I have kept him on my bench? Will he be back this year?
I mean, I think you should have kept him if you could have. You can't take a bunch of zeros, you know, for an injured guy, but I think he will be back, and we'll see. If he doesn't get Kirk Cousins, he gets Joshua Dobbs, who's, you know, showed something last week, but he's not the passer in the pocket. The Cousins is. He doesn't have the rapport with Jefferson. The Cousins did, so I wouldn't have dropped him myself, but we don't really know what it's going to be like with a new QB.
Yeah. I'm going to let you, Isaac, get the question, then I'll have you relay it to us. How's that? That'll be a lot easier right there. Even though it is Pete, and I don't know if we can get both of them on at the same time here. So Pete beat me last week in straight-up fantasy football, so I know he wants to come on. And let us know how good CeeDee Lamb was for him last week. 319-366-1600. Greg and Epworth, 1 point PPR, and needs one between Devontae Adams, Deontay Johnson, and Adam Thielen.
So it's so sad that Devontae Adams is being mentioned with those other these guys. You know, Deontay Johnson got a lot of looks in that game, but I can see kind of an ugly game. I kind of like Thielen. That sounds terrible. Thielen was going to the 11th round. Devontae Adams, a first rounder, and the Jets are the worst defense to face. Yeah, give me Thielen, I guess.
And the back half of that question from Greg, 1 point PPR league, obviously, Montgomery or Gibbs?
Yeah, we want to make sure that Montgomery's 100%. I think right now I would go Gibbs until I see Montgomery get, you know, his 15 carries or whatever he needs to get. But he did practice in full today. I mean, that's tough. Montgomery was by far the dominant ball carrier when they were both healthy. 50-50. Go with your gut.
Isaac, Pete was calling to gloat, wasn't he?
Yes, he. It wasn't so much a question as it was, well, technically it was a question, but the question was, what can Scott do to improve his team because he keeps getting beat week after week?
It's exactly what Chris predicted.
I didn't give him a good grade this year, and then he started off really fast, and I felt bad. I was like, well, maybe I'm off base or something. Maybe Scott's team was better than I realized, but unfortunately, it wasn't that good.
I'm good enough just to lose by single digits every week, and it's
how do you rank in overall points in that league? Are you still pretty high?
I'm still pretty high, but everybody seems to have a good week against me, which Well, I have no control.
You know, in a lot of leagues, what you got to do, Scott, in a lot of leagues, like the last playoff spot goes to the highest non-qualifying point scorer.
Ooh.
So that, you know, you don't just get unlucky. I mean, still, you know, it matters. The head-to-head still matters. But that last spot's reserved for the guy with the most. Even if you're like 3-10, if you have the, you know, the second most points, you'll end up in the playoffs.
Well, Pete, take note.
I see the commissioner. Is Pete the commissioner?
That is correct. Yeah, he's right there. He's got his pulse on it.
It's a good rule because it doesn't invalidate the head-to-head. It just gives, you know, that guy who's 7-6, you know, mediocre points doesn't make it. But the guy with the high point total, you know, edges him out.
All
to
right.
The last spot.
Back to the program. 0835 in a PPR league needs a running back two from Kareem Hunt, Gus Edwards, or Rashad White. Jefferson is coming off IR, okay to start or hold this week.
Yeah, I don't think Jefferson you start. I mean, if he plays, you want to start him. I don't know if he's going to be playing this week, but Rashad White is a guy I would use, even though it's a tough matchup against Tennessee.
Gus Edwards is a touchdown machine lately, though.
He is. But that's all he is. So, I mean, you know, if he gets those carries inside the five, he's good. Yeah, Jefferson's not expected to play this week. If Edwards gets those carries inside the five, it's fine. But, you know, sometimes you score from the 20 and you're never inside the five and, you know, then he's not really relevant.
Tony Romo did call him one of the best running backs in the league.
Yeah, Romo's a hyperbolic.
1345 is in a standard league, Chris. Dak or Burrow?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, the problem with Dak is I just don't think he's going to have to do much against the Giants, whereas Burrow is more likely to get into a shootout against the Texans. So I'm going to say Burrow.
Chris, half-point PPR league with Tua off this week. Do you go with these amazing quarterbacks, Derek Carr or Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I like Minshew. I mean, I like Carr against the Vikings. The problem with Carr, obviously, is that Taysom Hill comes in and then, you know, gets a lot of the easy stuff at the goal line, and that really hurts him. Minshew against the Pats, you know what? I really like Carr against the Vikings, but I'll probably say Minshew because Carr is handicapped. He has no upside because Taysom Hill just destroys it.
True. Even if you have Olave, right?
Well, I mean, if you have Olave, it's good because he'll get whatever he's going to get. But it hurts even him because, you know, sometimes they throw to receivers in the 5-yard line, but it's just, it's a good play. Taysom Hill's good at it. But, like, because there's 10, you know, when you snap the ball to your runner directly, there's 10 blockers. Whereas if you have to have the quarterback hand to the running back, there's 9 blockers. So it works, but it kills the fantasy value of QB.
You guys have no love for Tyson Bagent. Home against Carolina. Come on.
He was shaky last week. He was okay early in the game, and then he threw those picks. But I really needed the Saints to cover, too, and that guy couldn't hit the field goal, the rookie kicker.
No. Nah. Probably hurt you and others right there.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got at Real Man Sports this week, Chris?
Real Man Sports, you know, I'm picking the games against the spread. I've been kind of on a heater lately, like 20-4 in the last 5 weeks, which is unheard of, and I don't know why, but I had a horrible start. Just been writing up the games, and then I've been writing a little thing about what I learned from my mistakes earlier this year. So that's it, realmansports.com.
You go 20, you keep going 20-4, you're going to have a 900 number soon.
I won't do that because nobody can keep it up, and I'd probably just be on a yacht somewhere if I could keep it up, but no, it's going to crash down to earth for sure.
All right. Best of luck, Chris. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Chris Liss and his appearance brought to you by Imon Communications, the official sponsor of Valdings Fantasy Football here on KGYM. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll get a Bowling Night in America preview for you right after this.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So you're ready to propose?
Yes, I am.
You got her parents' approval. You told her friends. And you got the ring.
Well.
Luckily, there's GageDiamonds.com with engagement rings in every style for every budget with certified natural diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, and moissanite.
But I'd rather not trade my savings.
Gage lets you buy the ring today and pay over time with no credit needed financing.
Brilliant.
GageDiamonds.com. We're engagements. Middle name.
Exclusions apply.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it is a Wednesday, and that means it is a night for Bowling Night in America. And this preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, and the home of the number one versus number two battle and showdown tonight, Mark.
It is week 10 in the Adult Evergreen League. Rusty Nails clinging to a 2.5-point lead over JB's Pizza. Two teams get together tonight on lanes 29 and 30. JB's, I'm sure you've noticed, Scott, has the top three averages in the league and four of the top five. The downside of that, those guys need to hit their averages, right?
Well, they do.
Well, they usually do.
They usually do, though. You're right. This should be fun. Should be very entertaining tonight. Good seats are available at May City Bowl, if you are so inclined to drop on by and see what goes on at Bowling Night in America. Isaac, I can see your eyes light up right there. We got to get you out there one night.
One night I will, but I got a test I got to do tonight. So, sorry, school takes priority. No offense to you guys. I'm sure it's okay. It's a phenomenal time, I'm sure.
It's okay. During winter break, we'll get you out
there. Yeah, once I'm out of school, I'll be looking for things to do after the show, because usually it's just homework. I'm a very studious person.
You are. You are indeed. All right. Big thanks to May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest, and Cedar Rapids. Stop on by the pro shop. Give them a call for open bowling. Number, Mark, is?
362-0136. And you can also access information at the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
A lot of folks talking about this today. The NCAA coming out with a review of the Women's National Championship game, saying that the officiating between Iowa and LSU last year was below expectations. That's wonderful. But it's also November 8th, 2023, and that game was played in early April of 2023, Mark. So that's great.
I mean, the average in the NCAA tournament was 91% effectiveness. That game was 88%, so it wasn't a whole lot different.
No,
it's water under the bridge, Scott.
It's water under the bridge. I mean, what's going to change? Officiating, we've been talking about it in football ad nauseum. I think the basketball game was probably still better officiated than a lot of football games I have seen this fall. But at any rate, got everybody all fired up again about Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey and LSU. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. We're back with you tomorrow at 3. Have yourselves a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on The Gym Class.
At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things: getting projects done right with Behr Premium Plus interior paint,
and football.
That's right, Kirk Herbstreit. And with Behr's wall-to-wall coverage and long-lasting durable finish, you'll spend less time worrying about your walls,
which means more time for football.
For